It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hey, 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 would you look who has made it to the Fox Across America Game Ball presentation ceremony? You and me. And thank you for joining me here in this forum where we get together every week and we honor, we highlight, we showcase one guest who really did one way or the other have a profound impact on my broadcasting experience. Sometimes it's people who've made me laugh. Sometimes it's people who've enlightened me, offered me some perspective on an issue I may not have had coming into the conversation. But sometimes it's just truly a career highlight, like a life experience I never could have fathomed, something that just blew my brain into a billion little pieces. And that, of course, was this week's guest segment with the man who played Francis Buxton in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, one of the all-time highlights of my life. When you talk about those key moments spread out over the decades of your life that you can remember every minute detail about as if it was happening a second ago, going to see Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I grew up in Levittown on Long Island. We went to a United Artists Theater on Hempstead Turnpike that's not there anymore. It was famous at the time for they used to have the Rocky Horror Picture Show on the weekend. So people would come in at midnight and Midnight Madness, and they'd watch it, and they'd scream, and they'd watch the Midnight Madness film, and they'd watch Rocky Horror, and they'd sing along to it. People would be in costume, let's do the time warp, that whole thing. Well, I went to that theater, my brother Mike, my mom, my dad, my uncle Sonny, his girlfriend Ronnie, and we watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and we, like, genuinely laughed within an inch of our lives. Like, it was so stupid. It might be the stupidest thing ever made, but the thing about stupid comedy is you have to be smart to write it. That's why slapstick is as good as it is. Okay, if you watch a movie like The Naked Gun, which is probably also a top two movie for me, okay, it's really, really stupid, which makes it smart. And I loved Pee-wee's Big Adventure so much, but the idea that I'd ever be interviewing anybody from that film, let alone having them on the show, knowing that, coming to find out anyway in real time, that they knew everything about me and my life. I had no idea Mark Holton was like a fan, per se. He and I had hooked up because he saw me talking about him on Fox one day, and he sent me a message. And I was like, yeah, sure, come on the show. And he came on the show and happened to know a hell of a whole lot more about me than even I think I knew about him, which is wild. But he was such a cool guy, and he was funny, and he had such an infectious laugh. And the idea to be cracking up a guy who cracked me up so hard as a child. I mean, I play Pee-wee Drops on the show all the time. It's a game ball for Holton, but I think he needs to share it with the universe, because whoever played a role in orchestrating this chance, happenstance encounter, I am forever indebted to you. So the game ball goes to Holton, but you will have to share it with the universe if such a thing were possible. You need to know this, and I had messaged you privately about this. Okay, here at Fox News, I wasn't kidding when I said this, okay? Between the talent you see on TV, the producers that make these shows go round, and the actual executives that employ us, we speak in Pee-wee's Big Adventure shorthand, I would say like 60% of our workday. I'm not even kidding. Let me give you an example just so you can roll with me, okay? Every time on this show someone mentions Andrew Cuomo, okay, our governor here in New York who kind of went away, I frequently refer to him, just listen to me, as Handsy Andy Cuomo.
Andy! Andy!
And then you hear Pee-wee talking about Andy. Sometimes when we're challenging a fact that we don't like out of the administration, you'll hear us say,
"You can't just make up lies about people."
The point is, we're always quoting Pee-wee in some capacity. And you, you need to know this. There is a reverence for you specifically as the comedic actor that you are here that you probably didn't even know existed.
Okay.
And I wanted you to have that, Holton, from us to you. I wanted you to know that you are greatly appreciated. This is friendly fire. But my question for you, as a notorious bicycle thief and a guy who's in my all-time favorite movie as well, The Naked Gun, is do you like the direction comedy is going in right now, or are there things you would change?
I think it's turning around. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think it's turning around. I think people are coming to their senses and saying, you know, enough of this woke baloney.
Yep.
I've had it. Mm-hmm. You know, funny is funny. This is not I don't want to be lectured to. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very, very small percentage of the country that's actually, causing all the trouble for everybody else. But
yep, it's kind of
that's just mm-hmm. that's just me. So
no, I do. I think it's like a tyranny of the minority where there was a moment there where the people getting upset had power because we didn't understand how many what kind of numbers they had. You know what I mean? But you realize, human nature is we just want to have a good time. I mean, and I think now that we've kind of stood behind the magician of the woke mafia and seen where the rabbit's going and how they do the card trick, I think we are kind of trending back into the right direction. Because the next question I was going to ask you is, I think Pee-wee was safe in any era, but the Naked Gun, that had a lot of creative license with topical jokes at the time. There was a little controversy in there.
Absolutely.
But the idea of like Reggie Jackson killing the Queen and you recognizing Enrico Palazzo, was that the most fun film you worked on?
You know what? I was there for a half a day in the stadium.
Oh, that's funny.
Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. They brought in the extras and dressed it up, and I knew the storyline. And I was, pretty much in and out of there really quick.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I mean, it was bada bing, bada boom, bada bang. I don't even think I was invited to the screening.
Stop it!
I was walking. No, I'm serious. I was, like, walking down Sunset or something, going to an audition, and some guy pulls up to the curb next to me, uh-huh. rolls his window down, and goes, "Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo. You were bad, man." I went, "What the hell just happened?" You know? Oh, okay. Naked Gun. How did he know that? So it was just like right out of the blue.
That is,
and it's just ballooned over the decades.
Oh, it's
the Enrico Palazzo thing, and how cool is that?
It's amazing. We're talking to the great Mark Holton, Hollywood royalty, Fox News royalty as well. Here behind the scenes. I did not know. I was just down in Bricktown. I didn't realize you were born in Oklahoma City, but I was just at the Bricktown Comedy Club.
Well, I'll be damned. Wish I'd known that.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you actually show up and would you come to a show the next time I'm in town? Because we'll certainly leave you tickets.
Hell yes.
Oh, Holton, this is
if you come to Bricktown Comedy, I'll be there in a heartbeat, man. If you come to Tulsa to do KRMG.
Whoa!
I'm 25 minutes away from your studio.
Holton, you know too much. I didn't realize you had this kind of intel. This is crazy talk. Well, that means a lot to me.
I live, believe it or not, in a small town just south of Tulsa.
Oh, get out of here.
So I can be wherever you are in this state anytime, anywhere, man.
Oh, wow.
And I've got you're a cigar smoker, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I've got a little cigar lounge to take you to.
Oh, man.
We can we'll fire one up and, throw up our feet in some big overstuffed leather chairs if you would like that.
Holton, this is amazing. I feel like I should be paying $3.99 a minute for this kind of dirty talk. This is great.
This is fantastic. Man, I can't thank you enough. You have really made my year.
Oh, buddy.
You're a great guy. I mean, I feel blessed beyond measure. I really do. Mm-hmm. And I know you feel that way about your life too.
Oh.
The more I listen to you and not just your funny side, Jimmy, mm-hmm. but what you really think and feel or whatever. The other day you were talking about holding your son for the first time, mm-hmm. and what was going through your mind and wondering how could anyone not be protective of this, being. Mm-hmm. And I flashed immediately on my child, mm-hmm. my first son, and his, little hand gripping your little finger and, and I know, okay, that's a good, strong boy. He's going to be okay. And then talking to him and him opening his eyes and looking me in the eye because he knew my voice because I had talked to him a lot.
That is so crazy. I mean, the two things that really jumped out at me at the most, you're right, is Lincoln squeezing my finger and then, of course, Maury Povich saying it was my baby. That was always that also got me as well. We're talking to Mark Holton. I'm kidding, man. Listen to you. You're like, wait a minute. We're talking to Mark Holton. That's so funny. Let me ask you a quick question, because I appreciate that, you getting me and what I'm trying to do. You know, I spent so much time as a cab driver listening to talk radio, and I was harboring this suspicion that there were millions of guys like you and me out there, like people who just got the joke, that most of what this is, especially when it comes to politics and issues, is we kind of put ourselves in political boxes, but the truth is there's such a human element to all of this. And if you just prioritize these basic shared human experiences, there's still a way to make progress in this country. It just doesn't get clicks. Progress doesn't get the clicks that sensationalism does. But if you actually care about a greater good, I mean, the things we're talking about, probably the way forward. So should you and I run for office, or are you going to fail the background check like me?
Oh, I would fail immediately. My family would say, "What in the hell did you just pack into that last cigar, Mark?" I wouldn't even think about politics. Why would you put yourself through that?
No.
You know, I mean, you're younger than me. You know, you were 10 years old the year that I graduated from high school. Uh-huh. So, you know, you should be calling me Uncle Mark.
Uncle Mark Holden's on the phone. Let me ask you this. Are you still chummy? Do you talk to Paul Rubens once in a while?
Especially, you know, during Christmas, you know, he sends a Christmas card. I'll send one back. Sometimes a little gift here and there.
Oh, that's awesome.
He called this last, my birthday, last July. Mm-hmm. He sent a video, and it went on forever, and it just, you know, it was like all the years melted between us. Mm-hmm. The last time I actually saw Paul was right before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. He was doing the national tour mm-hmm. at these beautiful, gorgeous old theaters. Mm-hmm. And he happened to be in Dallas, and I said, "I'd like to come down there." He said, "Come on down, you know." Mm-hmm. And so my wife and I went in there and sat very, you know, nonchalantly quiet, incognito. And damn it if he didn't spotlight me. So when he was backstage with security, I was getting mobbed. I didn't mind it a damn bit. I loved it, you know.
Yeah.
I had this big guy come up to me and throw his arms around me and say, can I have a hug? And I said, sure. And this guy's got like shocks of gray in his hair, right? Uh-huh. And he said, "You were part of my childhood."
Oh, wow.
And his voice was quavering.
Oh, man.
And it was like, okay, I get it. You know, maybe I don't need to be so damn hard on myself anymore.
No way,
and
man.
That's when I started doing conventions.
No, man. Oh, when you think of what
pardon me for interrupting. Yeah. What are the dates you will be at Bananas in New Jersey?
Oh, Mark, I'll be there April 21st and 22nd up here in Bergen.
I will be in Persephone, 25 miles away, the next weekend.
Well, you know what? If you're around on the East Coast, we'll make you come to a Fox show or something. You can come here or come hang out or whatever. Don't worry about it. You don't have to make it to the stand-up show. You can get a...
Well, twist my arm. You won't have to twist it too damn hard either.
Well, the listeners need to know the way. One of the reasons this came about is you were watching Fox one day, and Kennedy and I were on The Five, and we were talking about your film. And one of the things, Mark, that I didn't get to share with you about that experience is one time here at Fox, one of the best laughs we've ever had is Geraldo was on with us. And it was Kennedy and I were on with Geraldo. And the question was, if you could have one prop from any movie, what would it be? Kennedy said she wanted the bicycle from Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So I made a joke, which was, well, you're out of luck because it's at the Alamo in the basement. At which point, Geraldo chimes in. He goes, "Alamo in San Antonio?" And I go, "Yo, Geraldo, how many Alamos do you know?" I've never heard somebody yell out in Texas, "Remember the Alamo," and somebody yell back, "Which one?"
I'm having to bite my lip.
Oh yeah, you go easy. You go easy on Geraldo. We'll rough him up when we see him on TV.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. You know, go ahead. You make your point. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell you, I have a friend in San Antonio that writes for a paper, and he had to do a story on the Alamo, and they actually have two basements for storage, but they're just like packed full of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when he did the story anyway, that was the story anyway. But anyway, just an FYI.
Adobe. That's unbelievable. We're talking to Mark Holton. I have so many laughs. Let me ask you a quick Teen Wolf question, too.
Sure.
Because working on that film, I just recently showed that to Lincoln Fala. And you, of course, hit an epic shot at the end. I don't mean to spoil it for people. You hit an epic shot at the end of the game. Was Michael J. Fox cool to work with?
Very cool. Very cool to work with. Nice. I was on the court with him back and forth for 12 to 18 hours a day. It was just nuts. And he would leave at the end of the day, towards the end, and was starting on Back to the Future.
Oh wow!
So yeah, he was a cool guy. I enjoyed every minute I spent with Mike. Uh-huh.
Did you, as a result of that time period in the '80s, you're in Hollywood, you know Michael J. Fox? Did you spend a considerable amount of time of your youth driving around in a DeLorean?
No, never. Caught the eye. I'm probably more likely to see the DeLorean now at the convention.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, by the way, the convention in Persephone is, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat.
It happens.
Will be Chiller Theater.
Ooh.
Just think Count Floyd. Monster Chiller Theater! It's like 26 years, I think, they've been doing it now, and it's a big one. So I hear it's supposed to be a pretty cool gig, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, listen, we're going to make sure we have you back on to promote it. And certainly if you're on the East Coast, we'll hook up when you come this way, and I'll let you know when I'm going down to Tulsa. But
I mean this.
This is a big deal. Like, we're going to get off the phone. I'm going to send this to executives that think this is the greatest thing in the world. You have no idea. You're like a legend. You're a bigger deal around Fox News than like Reagan. You're the Reagan of actors. How does that sound?
Bullshit.
No, no, I meant Reagan, the porn actress, Reagan Fox. I didn't mean Ronald Reagan.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Well, you're right there.
I'm kidding. I'd actually call BS on the porn actress more than the president if I were you. Listen.
Okay, well, sure.
Francis Buxton, Mark Holton, I do mean this was a career highlight. Let's please do it again soon.
Yeah. Well, I would just like to say God bless Mrs. Schimenti for putting you on this road with your little football helmet. And I wish I had one of my little football helmets that were an incarnation before those that had a pencil sharpener in them, and you could pop the pencil sharpener out and stick it on the head of your G.I. Joe.
Oh, my God, remember that. Oh, this is you're taking me back now. That is going to do it for the Fox Cross America Game Ball presentation ceremony. I hope you have the happiest weekend allowable by law. I will be back here on Monday, bloated and fat and hungover from the Super Bowl, but thrilled and honored to join you as always. Until then, enjoy the weekend.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.